So I'm going to share, we're embarking on a new, I believe it's a new, if you will, topic of discussion, and I want us to talk about this, but there's some veins or some highlights or some, if you will, some places I want to take this topic from and look at it, and it's our identity in Christ and who we are, what the Bible, what Jesus says about us as His people. And so there's this thing I want to do, and I feel like it's something that it's extremely important for us to look at our identity in light of the return of Christ, Jesus coming back. Our purpose, our calling, and our duty, if you will, as God's children here on earth, right here and now, in this very time that God has placed us, with a reason, a purpose, and actually with intention by God in us and through us. That so with that intention and with that mindset, like, who are we in this time? I mean, I think it's important for us to understand that, because I don't want us to just like disconnect and say, well, this is what we are, but then we go out there in the world and we don't really get it. I want us to connect the dots. That's my goal and my vision and my heart for us this morning. In fact, for actually probably about thinking about 2 months now until we get into Christmas messages, and Stephen and I will speak on this subject. So is that about right? 2 months, something like that. Yeah. So here's some truths. Jesus is coming back. Yeah. His return is imminent. In other words, it is without a doubt, unquestionable, going to happen. The time is drawing close. We can see the signs everywhere. Amen? So I would like to encourage us as your pastor, and according to this is a pastor appreciation day or month or what? I know, pastor appreciation year. It doesn't say. I know, huh? Yeah. There's no date. Pastor appreciation decade. Just as your pastor, I'd like you to appreciate this response. Basically, with these two impulses, in these truths that Jesus' return is imminent, time is drawing close, signs are everywhere. It ought to cause something in us. It ought to create an impulse. Two of them I want to talk about, and these are the two impulses that I believe I'm going to highlight throughout these messages that I'll refer to many times, because I think they're important for us to refer to many times in our understanding in God's revealing to us who we are, with these two impulses kind of driving us. An impulse is something that drives you, it forces you, it causes you to move, right? They're not fear and they're not anxiety. They're not the impulses. They're purity and watchfulness. Those two impulses, purity and watchfulness. The truths that we know that are imminent, that Jesus is returning, the signs are everywhere, and the time is drawing close, create this impulse within us that draws us to purity and compels us to watchfulness. First, purity. So this is in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through 3. And this is out of the Passion Translation. As I read this in this translation, you'll see as I read it, you'll say, okay, that's pretty good stuff. It says this, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that He has lavished on us. He has called us and made us His very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they did not recognize Him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. But we do know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like Him. For we will see Him as He truly is. And all who focus their hope on Him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. So there's an impulse that ought to be within us that when we know that his return is imminent and it's very soon, that we ought to be in line with what his word tells us, is that we should always be purifying ourselves. And so this is a work of the Holy Spirit. So it's just basically saying, yes, I agree. I say, I download the app of purification in me. Amen? And let it do its work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work that he loves to do. Make us like him. It's I know, and I know that the battle is real. I love that song. Gosh. Okay. I love that one. You know that one that says that those words that are really good? It's the words we just sang, and I heard the song probably 3 or 4 times this week. And it's, he wrestles with the sinner's heart. And I'm thinking, every time I've heard that song a few times, and we just sang it, right? Did I say the word? Because his grace, yeah, his grace is enough. That's the name of the song? Thank you. Oh, that's why we sing, his grace is enough. I get it now. But here's the beauty in that, and when I heard that a couple times this week, before we sung it this morning, my heart was compelled with this impulse to say, yes, I am so overwhelmed with gratefulness, and listen to me and follow me at this, brothers and sisters. He wrestles with my sinner's heart. He wrestles to where he is conqueror. He is victorious over my sinful heart. And he doesn't relent. He doesn't give up, and he's much stronger than I, and he won't let go, and he won't let me go my way. The sinner's way, that is. Because he's wrestling with us, and he's fighting for us. And sometimes he's fighting against us because we're fighting against him. It's not that he's fighting against us in us. It's the fight that we put up against him. So it's a simple concept that I'm encouraging us to just really grasp, is align ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit that's always purifying you and I. He's working on us constantly. I love that impulse. And the second impulse is watchfulness. In Matthew 25, we get this parable of what is called the 10 virgins. That's what it's been titled. But 25:13 simply says this, and this is the last of that parable. Says, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. Keep watch. So that's the, if we understand how Jesus taught parables, he would teach a parable, and he would either give you the meaning of the parable, the reason he's telling you this parable, at the beginning or at the end of it. And this one he gives us at the end of it. He says, so therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of my return. So that's the purpose of the parable of the 10 virgins. To watch simply means to, and this is where I feel like this is a part of what this message topic is about, is our identity in Christ, because this is when we understand our job, when we understand who we are, we can understand what we can do. Hello? Did that make sense? The more we know who we are, the more I know what I'm called to do. Does that say it a little bit better, right? Okay. So to watch means to do your job really well for the sake of Christ. See, here's what I feel like happens in the parable of the 10 virgins. It gets misconstrued just a little bit because we understand it's in regards to a bridegroom that goes away for a time. And then when he comes back, the 10 virgins come in with their lamps. We seem to misconstrue that and say, well, it referred to the virgins as the bride. And that's not what he's referring to. See, what the virgins do for the bride and the bridegroom as they come in is, with the lamps, is the key, is they're lighting a way. They're lighting a path. They're lighting the room up so that all can see the beauty and the splendor of the bride and the bridegroom. Do you understand that? So when we refer to the lamps as a light and the oil as that which is the Holy Spirit's working to give light to those that need to see Jesus. So if our purpose and our watchfulness is about doing the work that God's called us to do, to be about the Father's business that He has assigned us to do, then our what was going to happen in that is that you're going to give light for people to see Jesus, including yourself. And that's a good thing. So it really comes down to being busy about the Father's business, not being a busybody. Hello? How many of you know that busybody that always likes to... Oh, Stephen and I joke about there's this one person in town that shows up at every charity event simply to take pictures of everybody with selfies. So, hey, look what I'm doing in town, and post all these pictures so that they make it look like they're doing all these wonderful things in town. And I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's really quite comical. I mean, she'll be at our turkey drive. Oh, I said a she, sorry. Yeah. Anyways. Lord, get me back on track. Okay, here we go. Responding to the announcement when it's given, that's what the job, the duty of the bridegroom or the virgins were, to light the way of the bridegroom in to the procession of the wedding feast. And that's what we're about. See, and they did their job. They did their job very well. They did their job as they were supposed to. They did their job and they entered in. They were morally, spiritually, and you might even say, professionally and intentionally about the Father's business. In other words, they were into it seriously. They just weren't haphazardly saying, well, whatever God wants me to do, I'm just going to go this way, that way. Hey, I'm trusting the Lord, skipping along. No, they were serious about what the Father wanted them to do. They were listening to the Father's heart, listening to the Word of God, and that's what we are called to do here and now in this time, to be watchful, to strive for purity, align ourselves to be pure as Christ is pure. To be watchful doesn't mean to, forgive me if this offends somebody, because it doesn't necessarily mean to just pay attention to all the YouTube prophets that are speaking all this stuff that's coming out there and going out there and doing this and going that. There's some good stuff out there. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what watchful is about. Watchfulness is a busyness. I am focused on what God's called me to do. I'm looking toward what God's called me to do, and I'm doing it. I'm in the work. I'm in the business of doing what God has me to do. That's what the 10 virgins were about. So I know this ought to compel us. There's an impulse in us that says, maybe I'll just ask a simple question. When you hear and you know and you see, let's just say, all this, the prophets that are speaking about the return of Christ, and it's good stuff, what does that do inside you? What kind of impulse does that do? Does it like, oh no? Well, here's what it ought to do. Cause us to strive for purity and to get busy. I want when Jesus returns, and I know you guys are with me on this, I want Him to catch me doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? It's like when, you know, the good worker that the boss leaves to do the job is the one that when the boss comes on a surprise visit to the job site or to the office, that you're actually busy doing it and you're not out taking a nap or out to lunch or you know, or playing video games on your phone when you should be working or whatever, whatever it is. It's the good worker is the one that the boss comes in and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Hello? That's not too difficult to understand. That's what I want to be doing. Hello? You guys with me? Good. I was making sure nobody was back there Make sure all of us were in here. They did their job the way that God meant for them to do it. But here's the key, and this is where we're going to segue into who we are. When you know who you are, you know what you are supposed to be doing. So our identity in Christ is really of utmost importance. Who are you? No answers? All right. I'll tell you what you are. You're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Let's talk about that for a minute. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Did you hear that? Jesus is the head. We are the body. Have you ever seen... Okay, here. Let me try to be very practical. My body parts are in obedience to, submission to what my head says to do. It's quite simple, isn't it? When I want to catch a ball, my head says catch that ball because it's hit at me. My body goes and does what it does, right? Right? Some of it's instinctual that I've trained it to do, but most of it's my head telling it what to do. When I need to get up in the morning, my body says, go get up in the morning, brush your teeth, do these things. My head says that. My body does it, right? There are some limitations to it. Like my head really wants my body to be able to dance well. It just doesn't seem to cooperate. It's really goofy looking. And it's like I want it to look like those TikTokers that are doing those funky things, and I'm like, I don't know. I've tried, and it's just like it doesn't work. And that's okay. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a unique function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Wow, this is kind of a mystery, if you will, and Paul even referred to it as a mystery about the church. See, you are the body, but it takes every individual member of your body working together to make it possible for you to do what you do every single day. I'm wondering, I felt like there was something that the Lord showed me, and I didn't do the research because I didn't have time. I have a sneaky suspicion that if you were to add up all of the individual cells in your body, it would be a number that would be pretty enormous. I mean, absolutely astronomically enormous. Of all the cells in your body that are working together to get your body to do what it does every single day. And I from Scripture and from knowing God, God said, you are created, let's create man in our image. I do believe that there is a place where he says it, that the fullness of man, when it comes into completion, is when he will return. I don't know if there's a certain amount of people, and he also refers to when that certain amount of people come into the kingdom, that's when he's going to return. I don't know if that number is in line with how many working cells are in our body that cause it to do what it causes it to do. I think it's all pretty close and closely related, because I believe God is intentional. God is not, doesn't do things accidentally. God does every minute thing intentionally. And how he made and created us in his image was intentional. And I believe that there is something about our body that is working in this mysterious, magnificent, marvelous, absolutely wonderful way that God is saying, this is an intentional thing that I am doing, preparing you. You know, we all have an individual body, but we're a part of this massive, enormous body of Christ. that's doing the work of God as Jesus the head for his kingdom and for his glory in this world, that God has an awesome plan for us and every one of us. And it's super cool to me to understand that. Yes. 37.2 trillion? That sounds like the national debt. It's probably close, huh? Not even close. Are we into the a word I don't even understand? Quadrillion or? Yeah, that's another subject I'd rather not talk about. So here's what's really cool. Let's have fun with this for a minute. Talking about our body in relating it to the body of Christ. The church as the body is marvelous. It's magnificent. You know, Alfonso was sharing how the beauty and just this overwhelming sense of just love that we get from one another is really awesome. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's what we long for, right? When we come together, that's why when there's people that aren't here, there's missing parts to this beautiful thing called the body of Christ. And just a little side note, please don't ever, ever, ever misconstrue this. If people are missing don't ever misconstrue the adaptability of the body of Christ, the church, to continue to function even though people are missing. It's not intended for a people to be missing. Does that make sense? Please receive that correctly. We're all called to be a part of one another and love one another and be connected to one another. When we try to disconnect and say, I don't really matter, they don't even miss me when I'm gone, or nobody even cares if I'm there or not there, is an absolute lie straight from the pit of hell. Don't buy it. Okay? I'll give it. Do not misconstrue the adaptability of the body to continue to function as something that we are not of importance or value inside the body of Christ. Part of it's in my message, that topic. I thought of that this morning, and I thought, I need to share that. And then I shared it before it was somewhere in my message, so. Yeah. Let's go on. All right. Okay, I got a question for you. Have you ever noticed how we seem to only notice our own body's defects, our disproportions, our disorders, our inabilities, especially our faults and our failures? Now just translate that over to the body of Christ. There's something beautiful about every single one of your bodies. Marvelous, magnificent, gorgeous. And yet we see a chubby belly, a bald head, a wart on my nose. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? There's something that we're missing. And so I want us to really focus on what to get us to that place of what the church and the body is supposed to look like, supposed to be in functioning as the body of Christ. See, the description of the church as a body is more than, this is in my text, more than simply an analogy. It is revealing of a mystery. The church isn't a mere organization. It really is a living organism. Christ's body is alive, and like a human body, it is an incarnation of unity in diversity. And we all process relationships, listen to this, relationships through a filter. Did you hear me? Okay, listen to this. We all process relationships through a filter. That filter is your identity. You following me? The webbing of that filter, if you will, is made up of your identity. So the clearer I see myself in Christ, the freer I am and the freer I see you and allow you to be. Hello? So when I see myself in this cloudy version of what I think, you know, looking at all the dysfunctions, the warts and the ugliness that I think I see, what that does is it puts me in a bondage to not only myself, but also to now start seeing all of you in that light. So do you understand what I'm saying? So in every relationship is processed through this filter of my identity. And if my identity is correct, I am free, and I'm also free to let you be free. That goes for all of us. It's that is proof and evidence. What Tammy was just sharing is that Jesus is still, always has been, the author, the finisher. He's our sustainer. In Him we live and move and have our existence. And that's true. So it's true of Scripture. It's true of our anatomy, our physical anatomy. It's very clear to us and to me, I believe right now, how important it is to see and accept ourselves as, listen, unique and valuable members of the body of Christ, working together for the glory of God. See, that filter that I, in my identity, causes me to see each of you as valuable or invaluable, depending on the filter I use. Hello? And that's why the statement I made earlier about don't mistake the adaptability. Don't mistake the adaptability of the body to something that is that you're not needed or necessary. And that's true of all of us. Do you understand that? I want us to hear that very clearly. And that's why it's important for us to understand this, really get this. Because if that filter of when I look at myself as important and valuable to others, here's what it causes me to do. It causes you to be grateful. It produces gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness for each of you, for all of us together. Did you know that? Here's how I know. Just by simply the opposite. What's the opposite of thankfulness? Come on, I'm not going to go on until somebody gives me the answer. What'd you say? Hate? Ungratefulness is the obvious one, but it's not. That's not the answer. Okay, selfishness. That's close. We're getting closer. What'd you say? Pity? Those are all close. You can see, but that's not it. Come on, somebody give me the answer. Okay, that's getting closer. Okay. Dissatisfaction. Let me tell you what it is. You guys ready? And you'll see it very clearly, because the reason I could say that this is the answer is because these two cannot coexist. Criticalness. You cannot be thankful and critical at the same time for a person in your life. They will not coexist. They will not cohabitate with each other. You won't even be able to. Your heart will not allow you to do it. If you are critical of somebody, your heart will not allow you to be thankful for them. Hello? If you are thankful and grateful for somebody in your life or in your community, in your fellowship, in your circle, you cannot be critical of them. Now, there's a place where you could be helpful to them and you could see some areas where they can improve and grow. That's not being critical. that's being constructive, and that's being helpful. And there's a huge difference. So when I see myself and you see yourself and we see ourselves as these imperative, important, valuable parts of the body, it can only do one thing, and it produces a gratefulness for you, and you a gratefulness for others, and for me, or pastor appreciation. I guess I gotta keep pounding that one, right? A clear understanding of our identity as a unique and valuable body part, and a trust in God's glorious design of a unified body comprised of very diverse members, is meant to produce profound gratitude. Stuff that you can't make up, you can't drum up, you can't muster it up. It comes from the heart. You guys know what I'm talking about too, because you know when there's a gratitude from the heart that swells up within you for each other, right? We know it, we sense it, we feel it. There's an overwhelming love, and where you pray for one another, and there becomes this a place of like, oh, there's a groaning for what you want God to do in a person's life that's good. That's a gratitude that comes from God. Gratitude for God, to God, for His incredible grace towards us all. Gratitude for the indispensable gifts others are to the body. Gratitude that liberates, frees us to know that we don't have to perform functions in the body for which we aren't designed for. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? There's a gratefulness inside of me that swells up, that says, I am so glad I don't have to do what you are called to do. I know that's real, that's genuine. I'm not passing the buck. I'm so grateful that I don't have to do, because you're doing what you're called to do. Amen? Hey, I love that, you know, our pastor Mike can lead us in worship. And then he's got Noel to help him and partner with him. And some of the people that you don't see do this stuff that is like, that's indispensable, invaluable to this ministry. Robin and Blake are two of them that are like, oh my gosh, if you may think that if I am not here, what will happen? But I'm telling you, if Robin and Blake disappear, this place crumbles. And it's not to put them at a place, but the value that they do behind the scenes is like so immense. It's like, wow. And that's true of all of us. All of us are called, and we have this indispensable gift and purpose in the body of Christ. And if I haven't told you personally, I'm telling you right now in front of everybody that you mean something. And you mean something very valuable to every one of us in the body of Christ. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I really mean that. We are all called to be a purposeful, functioning part of the body of Christ. And it's also a great gift, and you guys know this, a great gift for us to discover that you personally have received an indispensable, I like that word, function to contribute to the common good of the body of Christ for the glory of God. Hallelujah. The body of Christ is a marvelous, magnificent, it's a real body, a living organism. And when you as individuals discover who you are as a part of the body, it's so freeing and liberating. And I know some of us, we're still trying to figure that out. We're still, you know, walking the walk, trying to figure it out, trying to know what our calling is, what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to tell you, if you just simply do two things, strive for purity and get busy doing God's work, you'll discover that you're doing what God's designed and called you to do. I 100% believe that. That when you get busy doing what you're compelled to do, it's what God created and designed you to do. Please don't, I need you to hear this as a word of encouragement. Don't put it on me and don't blame me that you are or are not doing what you are or are not supposed to do. Yes, I am your pastor, but I have had so many people come to me and say, hey, pastor, I feel like I want to do this and do that, or I feel like I need to do this and I do that. It's like, great, go do it. Get busy. Get doing it. Like, well, no, I need you to actually do it for me, but I want you to do it, and I want you to do it with me, and I want you to show me how to do it. I want you to teach, and I want you to, basically, it's like, then they're waiting, and then they, I've had people leave church. It's like, well, I told you I wanted to do this and that, and you never let me do it. It's like, what are you talking about? This is the most freeing place I know as a church that we could, that if you want to do something, just go do it, right? I there's so many people that I know, like, you just get busy doing it. And you may say, what's it? Just do it. The good stuff. The stuff that's good. That's for the glory of God. I mean, we're talking just loving people. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just what's in front of you to do that's good for God. And it's like, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. And I don't want to overcomplicate it, so please, let's just get busy doing the good stuff that God's called us to do. It's good. And you'll find that's where your gifting is. That's where your indispensable function as the body lies, in what you're good at doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. The body is a living organism. It's unity in diversity. When I say that, it's... Let me read these notes and I'm going to share some stuff. It is wonderful that we are one body, and individually we are members of one another. I sometimes I'm just overwhelmed and marveled at just our individuality, but also this collective connectiveness that we have towards one another as a body of Christ. And I'm not just talking this body too. Yes, there's a part of this body that we are a body. I would say if we're going to be biblical about how this body is, this is a part of the body that meets at the house of the salt mine. We are, if you want to even get more biblically correct, it says we are a part of the universal church, which actually means that the word correctly is the Catholic church. Catholic means universal. We are part of the universal church of God, the body of Christ, that is in the city of Lincoln that meets at the house of the salt mine. I know, but that's really, biblically, that's how it's described, as the church. The church is described as that. And, you know, that's why I'm very connected to, I intentionally make connections with other pastors of other houses in Lincoln. Because in Lincoln, that's where we are called to minister, be a salt, be salt and be a light in this community. And we love one another. We pray for one another as pastors. We reach out to one another. We help one another. This is an emotional week for Robin and I, and especially, and Linda and Leslie too. Is, you know, we're coming upon a year of Glenn's passing. Even the songs, and thank you, Mike, for leading us in all those songs that I believe they were, it was an emotional time because those were songs that I know Glenn personally loved. And so thank you for doing that. I think that was an honor to Glenn. But I had a friend this week pass away who's a pastor in town of a church that was, and he battled cancer for the last year. And I knew his family. We were friends. We were compadres. We were co-workers in the kingdom. And the Lord took him home. And we, as a Salt Mine group, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor here, we reached out and ministered to the family. But then I felt compelled, and I'm sharing you this because it was really good. It's just a good thing. This is a good thing. It's an understanding of the value of body parts working together in one purpose. Is I reached out to all the pastors, and we all, because they didn't know him as well as I did, and some of them knew him, but I knew Pastor Tim Mills, pastor of 11-1 Church, and so I reached out to all of them and shared with them that our brother passed away, and we all kind of collectively, it was via text, and because that seems to be the best way to connect with each other, and said some wonderful things about what it is, what we're called to do as pastors, and how we're connected to one another, and we pray for one another, and how we hold one another up, and we hold each other's families up. And it was so encouraging to me because I thought, this is what real love and life looks like in the body of Christ. There's no competition. There's just pure love. Because we're so purposeful about the kingdom. I believe in the city of Lincoln, in the churches of Lincoln, we're purposeful about reaching and preaching and bringing the kingdom of God here to Lincoln. Thy kingdom come here to Lincoln in heaven, or on earth as it is in heaven. It's something that we believe in, we connect with, and we're intentional about. And I want you to know that this is a wonderful thing that we have here in this city. It's a wonderful thing that you're a part of in this church. That's beautiful, and there's love, there's connection with fellow Christians abroad in this city. And it's real, it's genuine, and it's right. And it's really, really good. And I love it, and I'm so humbled and grateful to be a part of it. It wells up within me a gratefulness for my brothers and sisters, a gratefulness for the church across the street who's a dear friend of mine. A gratefulness for the churches that meet here and there, and they do things a little bit different. Their music is different. They have fog machines and stuff, and that's all cool. And I'm grateful that they can do that, and people like that. And I'm grateful that we don't. Do you understand where I'm coming with that? It produces a gratefulness that they could do that. Not a criticalness, not a cynicism, and not a just, you know, we don't judge and say, oh my gosh, that's such a... No, we love them. We love one another. This is what real body life looks like. Love for one another. Love for one another in our uniqueness. And we're all so stinking quirky. Oh my gosh, if the day and the moment where I expect you to try to be like me, please throw your chair at me or something. Get my attention and say, Eric, you are way out of line. We are all quirky, and I love us in our quirkiness. Hello? And I think it's a blessing to be quirky. I think it's something that produces something great and glorious and fantastic and beautiful. I love it. So in 1 Peter 4:10-11, let's just finish with this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Ha, hallelujah. God, we need your strength. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us that's really above and beyond our comprehension. And it's only by the power of your Holy Spirit, the mighty working of your Holy Spirit, that we can even receive you. And we are thankful for each other. We're thankful for your calling and your purpose on our individual lives, but also our collective purpose. We are grateful that you have intentionally and purposefully placed us right here, right now. May you cause us to be watchful by your Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you purify us constantly by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.